Well, as Dot mentioned, in the midst of our season of creation, our green team, our church has one of those, is kicking off once again our annual Fruit Watch program. And the idea behind this is that there's a lot of fruit in this neighborhood, some beautiful old trees. I mean, you can walk around and just find it all over the place, and sometimes you bring it home on the bottom of your shoe if you walk by the plum tree on Perry. Anyway, I'm off subject. The idea is that there are things being produced and grown in this neighborhood. And if you have one of those trees or your neighbors have one of those trees, I invite you to think about the ways you might gather them and bring them here and partner it up with Yard Harvest and Denver Urban Ministries. We'll be making sure that produce gets to folks in food banks who often don't get fresh produce. Fruit out of a can is nothing like fruit off of a tree. And so we invite you to think about that. We're going to be sending out an email with all the specifics of, you know, what hours you can drop it off. If you're interested in going to help pick fruit for folks that can't do it themselves, there will be information in the email about that too. Or if you're a person who says, look, I've got it, but I can't pick it myself anymore. That's the problem. We'll see about getting those teams out to your house. So just know this is a really neat thing, and it's one of the things we started just a couple years ago. And this year, many of the trees are doing well enough that it's going to be a beautiful harvest to share. So just know that's a part of our hope for this coming season. So folks like Grace and Corey and Dot, some good people to chat with. Mona, also another person. As we get those details, they'll be shared with you. So my grandparents, my mom's folks, they lived on a lake in South Dakota. I remember so many wonderful things about summers there. My family actually moved around quite a bit when I was growing up, and my grandparents' house was that one place that was always the same no matter where we lived. That's like that one house that was a part of my life for so many years. I remember we'd go up in the summers and there were so many great things. I learned to fish there. I think there's still probably a couple lures caught in the tree in the backyard where I was learning to cast. I remember running around playing with my cousins. I remember rolling down the hill in the backyard. It was this massive, giant hill when I was a kid. We went back as adults and it was like 6 feet long. But we just rolled down that hill over and over and over till our clothes were grass stained. And the other thing we would do that got us all sorts of dirty and kept us outside was climbing trees. My grandparents had beautiful trees that we could climb in up front. They had all these trees in the front yard, and there were three of them that were the best for climbing. And they were my grandma's apple trees. These beautiful apple trees, they had, you know, that nice little knot that you could put your foot on and a branch that was low enough to hop yourself up, and then you could just start climbing up and in. All the while, if you fell, it wasn't too tall. So those of us that weren't as adventurous still could feel like we were active and involved up there. We'd just hide and wait for someone to drive in and park so we could pretend we were voices out of the trees like in The Wizard of Oz. We had all sorts of fun. As a kid, my grandma would tell me stories about those trees, that they were trees that Johnny Appleseed himself had planted as he took his walk across America, sowing apple seeds. I believed her for the longest time. Maybe because I just wanted to. The trees seemed that old to me. And oh, did they produce well. They produced so well. My grandma would bake with the apples, she would can the apples, she would sauce the apples, she would slice them, she would dice them, she'd serve them with cinnamon, she'd roast them. She found endless uses for these apples. That is, they were just shared that this endless uses were for all the ones that got picked. There were some squirrels and raccoons that would get some. The birds got to some others. And to be honest, we probably knocked a bunch off of the tree climbing around in it. But there was very little that those trees produced that didn't go to those purposes that fruit is intended for. Nourishing life and creating new beginnings. I had a coach back in high school who described fruit as nature's power bars. When we were like, I need a power bar, he goes, go get a banana, half an apple. That's what nature's for. And I'd never thought about them that way. But fruit really can nourish life. Those fruit trees, their roots drawing nutrients up out of the soil, their leaves drawing energy in from the sun, all of those beautiful natural things packaged, everything God's good earth has to offer in one tasty treat that comes in its own edible wrapper. How amazing is that? As a source of nourishment, those crisp, tasty apples offered the life they carried within them to me, to my cousins. They offered all they had to the whole family, to the neighbors, to the ladies down at church, to anybody who bought my grandma's applesauce or apple pies at the church bazaar. Those apples went everywhere. And they were nourishing life. Because my grandma made sure they got out there. She hated seeing those apples not used. Because those apples nourished life. Those apples were also always seeking out ways for new beginnings. My grandma had a pen. It was one of those ones where at the top it had a little clear section full of water that was all closed in. And inside was a floating apple seed. And it just floated in there. And on the side of the pen it read, "Anyone can count the seeds in an apple. Only God can count the apples in a seed." I remember sitting there as a kid wondering what that meant. And then when I got old enough to really sort of get it, I was like, whoa. Because, you know, every single tree we see came from some seed. They came off of some other tree that had seeds. They came off of some other tree, and it just keeps going. Somewhere was one seed that led to hundreds upon thousands upon hundreds of thousands of trees. All in that one little seed that you're like, oh, I didn't know that was still in there. As a vehicle for reproduction, the fruit of those trees would help send seeds out into the world. I always thought it was so crazy that there could be a tree growing somewhere that grew out of some bird, squirrel, or raccoon poop that got dropped. But that's what they're for. That's what the fruit is for, to entice some sweet-toothed creature, us not excluded, into carrying the seeds away. You eat that thing, you toss the core, and boom, new tree. May not be Johnny Appleseed, but it gets the job done. And in the beauty of God's design, it's even dropped off with its own fertilizer. Really, these are the two fruit functions that aren't too different or separate from each other. Nourishing life and new beginnings. The nourishment of that fruit is the reason all those creatures, us included, become transportation mechanisms for the tree. And as I thought about those fruited trees and the purpose for that fruit, I realized the common denominator was that in both cases, both the nourishment and the new beginnings, nothing would happen if that fruit didn't get out into the world. Fruit that isn't shared or enjoyed, fruit that doesn't carry seeds out into the world, hardly accomplishes anything. When people use that phrase, "the apple didn't fall far from the tree," it strikes me that those apples don't actually do much of anything. They can't grow. I mean, there's already a tree over them. The nutrients and sunlight aren't going to happen the way they need to be a tree. And unless some random scavenger gets to it before it rots, they're not going to get eaten either. In fact, the only thing I can think of that fruit falling beneath a tree does is compost its nutrients back into the earth for next time, that hopefully another piece of fruit will be able to accomplish what it was meant to. You see, this strikes me as so important because of the strong biblical imagery that ties our spiritual lives to fruit. Over and over throughout the New Testament, our lives are reflected upon by the way they bear fruit in this world. And as you heard me sing in children's time, the fruit of the Spirit's not an apple. In Galatians, Paul names it clearly that the fruit of the Spirit in our lives is made known because God is present, what we offer the world is different. He names that fruit as love, manifested in joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You see, if the Spirit of God is active in our lives, these things begin to appear. Now, I also believe that there are seasons where we do not bear things the way we have at other times. It happens to all of us as people, just as it happened to the church peach tree this year. No peaches in the back of the yard. But that doesn't mean they won't be back. When God is active and alive in our personal lives, when God is alive and active in our community, fruit appears and love is present. And just as I learned climbing in those old apple-adorned branches, the fruit isn't any good unless it gets out there into the world. And it gets there into the world by fulfilling its purpose, nourishing life and offering new beginnings. So what I hear for us as God's people is an invitation to branch out. For if the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, if our apples are falling too close to the tree, we're missing out on all that God is seeking to do through us. The nourishing of life and the new beginnings this world needs so badly. Seeking ways to offer those fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, you know the song. Seeking ways to offer those in the world is a part of our purpose as God's people. And God will provide. God will make it possible for us. You see, all that we share, the fruit that we bear, comes from something bigger and deeper than ourselves. See, in the Gospel of John, Jesus reminds us of that. It's the 15th chapter, and Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vineyard keeper. He removes the branches that don't produce fruit and trims any branch that produces fruit so it can produce even more. You're already trimmed because of the word I have spoken to you." And then he gets really good. "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. A branch cannot produce fruit by itself, but must remain in the vine. Likewise, you can't produce fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches." The relationship, intimate and organic. If you remain in me and I in you, then you will produce much fruit. It comes from something bigger. It comes from something deeper that we have been grafted and grown into. I wanted to use my favorite sermon illustration for this scripture. I used actually about a year and a half ago, about this Japanese farmer that grafted 10 different fruit trees into one single tree in his yard. So he had one tree growing 10 different kinds of fruit. It's a reminder to me that there's so many different kinds of diversities, that we don't all bear the same fruit. No one's asking us to be the same. We're invited to be connected, yet be ourselves in producing and offering fruit for the world. A branch on its own cannot produce fruit. Jesus invites us to find what we need by being connected to one another through God's life and love, through Him. It's an invitation and an offer for us to find something bigger than ourselves from which to draw what we need. I've always loved how within a plant or within a tree, if one part's not getting enough sunlight, another part of the tree is gathering enough to share. And through that relationship, what's needed is provided. But all of that connection, support, and sharing, all of the balancing the tree does to make sure everything has what it needs, isn't just for the sole benefit of the tree. You see, we, much like that tree, are not simply here to perpetuate our own existence, benefiting only ourselves. Just like the apple or pear or plum trees, the connection and support and sharing equips us to bear fruit, fruit that needs to be shared with the world to have a purpose. Or else we're simply generating our own compost. When Catherine Lee Bates sat atop Pike's Peak and looked out over the fruited plain, what she saw was the result of fruit being sent out into the world. May it be our prayer that when someone looks at our community, they might see the same. That the love that has grown in our lives, in this community, might be abundantly shared in its purpose in the world. Amen.